Hallelujah. Praise God. So healing school, we've been talking about healing, and there's a Godward side, and also there's a manward side to healing. In other words, there's God's part, and there's your part. Amen. And we can't do God's part, and God can't do our part. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, we've been in the last two messages. I think this is just the third one. Is that right? Because we got delayed by the snow. Can you believe? It's hard to believe when it was 80 degrees out there that 2 weeks ago there was we had snow and ice. But it was. We've been focusing on God's part. We talked about His willingness and that the will of God from Genesis through Revelation. Almost in every book of the Bible, probably in every book of the Bible, there's a revelation of God's will to heal consistently. That it's His will for us to be healed. We've been focusing on God's part, His willingness and His ability to heal. We talked about that healing has been provided for us in redemption. That's God's part. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. But now, what I want to do tonight, I want to look at our part. Well, what is our part in this healing equation? Our part is faith. Our part is faith. Our part is not works, but our part is faith, and there are actions that accompany faith. Amen. James said, faith without works is dead, or faith without corresponding actions. And we'll get into that, exactly what that means before we finish up tonight. But look with me at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. Mark 9 and verse 22, this is the account of, and we were just going to just get the end of this, but this is the account of the man who came to Jesus and asked him to help him. His son was having, there was a spirit, he had a demonic spirit tormenting him, throwing him into the fire and the water. He would seize up. It was like he was having seizures. He would become rigid. In verse 22, it says, and often the father came to Jesus and said, often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I read that the other day. I'm going to stop right there and read the next verse in a minute. But I never had looked at it like that before, but it really stood out to me. He said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, the man was coming to Jesus on behalf of his son, but it wasn't just the son that was being afflicted. It wasn't just the son that was suffering. It was the father, too. It was the whole family, wasn't it? It was the whole family. And, you know, that's what we need to see and understand sometimes when people are going through things. You know, they might not be personally afflicted, but if they've got a loved one that is, they're bearing that as well, aren't they? They're bearing that trouble as well. So he said, if you can do anything, he said, have compassion on us and help us. See, in helping his son, he'd be helping the father too, wouldn't he? Amen. Amen. And so Jesus, though, really turned it around on him. So the man says, if you can do anything. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In other words, Jesus was saying, it's not a matter of what I can do. That's settled. And it's not a matter of what I'm willing to do. That's settled also. Jesus is able and Jesus is willing. That's the constant in this equation. It's not the variable. The constant is it's settled, it's fixed, it's established. He said, that's done, that's settled. What I can do, what I'm willing to do. He said, the variable here is, can you believe? If you can believe, then all things are possible to him who believes. Praise God. And so again, it's not a matter of what God can do. That's settled. It's not a matter of what God's willing to do. That's settled. It's a matter of, it comes down to, can we believe? Can we believe? And so many instances in the Scripture we see where Jesus mentions the faith of the individual as being the key to their healing. Well, we're going to look at a few of them here, but there's so many. The woman with the issue of blood. this to summarize that. We're going to come back and look at that in more detail later in the message. But right now I want to point out the last statement that Jesus made to her in Mark 5, verse 34. Look at that with me. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Daughter, your faith has made you well. What made her well? Her faith did. Her faith. So was her faith important in her receiving her healing? Well, absolutely. Now, obviously, it's understood it was God's power. But without her faith, that power never would have been tapped into. Without her faith, that power could not have been accessed. So Jesus' power and Jesus' willingness minus her faith would not have accomplished anything, would it? But Jesus' power and Jesus' willingness plus her faith made her well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I like the King James says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Somehow that word whole has just been stirring in my heart the last few days. Wholeness to me sounds a lot better than just being made well. Well, you're well. No, you're made whole. Praise God. You're put back together. Amen. You're made whole again. Glory to God. The Message Bible says it this way. Look at how it says in the Message. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed. Be healed of your plague." That's good, isn't it? That's what whole means. He says you're healed and you're whole. Now, when you're whole, you can live well and you can live blessed. Oh, praise God. Amen. It wasn't just, Jesus didn't just put a Band-Aid on that. Jesus didn't say, "They're here, okay, we'll give you some temporary relief." He made her whole. Jesus was in the business of making people whole. Amen. Glory to God. You're healed and whole. Live well. Live blessed. Amen. Amen. I like that. Here's the point. Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Well, if her faith can make her whole, then guess what? Your faith can make you whole. Amen. In fact, why don't you say it that way? Say, "My faith can make me whole. My faith does make me whole. My faith in the name of Jesus. My faith in the Word of God. My faith in God's power makes me whole." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Another example that we can look at that talks about the individual's faith is the healing of the centurion's servant. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 13, you know, the centurion had come to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. He said, "You don't even need to come, just speak the word, my servant will be healed." Jesus said, "I've not found such great faith in all Israel." Then he turned to the centurion and he said, then Jesus said to the centurion, verse 13, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." Notice that. "As you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. "As you have believed, so let it be done for you." Let's make a confession out of that. As I believe, it will be done for me. As I have believed, it is done for me. Amen. Amen. "As you have believed, so let it be done for you." His what he believed was important. What he believed was the important ingredient there, wasn't it? Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I'm able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.'" How about that? That's where that song started. "Yes, yes, Lord," they said, "yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. Praise God. So notice that he says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yes, Lord." He touched their eyes. He says, "All right, according to your faith, let it be to you." According to your faith. Amen. Say this, say, according to my faith, let it be to me. Amen. And their eyes were opened. Praise God. Go with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, look at verse 1 with me. In Mark 6 and verse 1, it says, "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?'" And so Jesus comes back to his own hometown of Nazareth, and the people see him, and they've heard rumors, they've heard reports of what's been going on, and they said, "Well, wait a minute, we know him. He's no one special. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now, he could do no mighty work there. It didn't say that he got offended back at them and wouldn't, and folded his arms and, you know, put out his lip. "Well, if y'all aren't going to believe in me and be nice to me, I ain't going to do nothing for y'all." It wasn't that he would not. He says here he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people. Now, look at all throughout the scripture, it says great multitudes came to him and he healed them all. Here, he was only able to heal a few sick people, and the literal Greek says with minor ailments. Just a few folks with minor ailments got healed. Everywhere else, there was just incredible miracles taking place. Jesus, you just don't have it anymore, I guess. Was it Jesus? Was the problem with Jesus? Did Jesus not have it anymore? It wasn't a matter of what Jesus could do or would do. What is it? He was willing. He was able. But something was short-circuiting it on their end. What was it? Yeah. Look at what it says here. Verse 6, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." They had marvelous unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about, Jesus looked at him and he said, "Unbelievable." Now they were looking at Jesus and saying unbelievable to their detriment. He marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So it was their unbelief. It was a corporate or a collective unbelief that shut down the power of God in his hometown, in Nazareth. He couldn't do any mighty works there. He couldn't do any great works there because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. But then we find out what the cure for unbelief is. It says, then he went about their villages doing what? Teaching. So we see that teaching is the cure for unbelief. Amen. Teaching the Word of God. Jesus went about teaching the Word. Faith comes. How does faith come? Anybody know? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Jesus was teaching the Word of God. In fact, it talks about that was his pattern. If you read Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 9 and many other scriptures, it says Jesus went about the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and then after the teaching and preaching, healing every disease and every sickness among the people. So the teaching and the preaching came before the healing, didn't it? Why was that? Because the teaching and the preaching produced faith. Amen. The Bible says concerning the man that was paralyzed, and his four friends brought him to Jesus, and they had to tear the roof off. You know that? Remember that account? And so what the Bible says there, it says, and if you put Mark's account and Luke's account together, it says something like this: Jesus preached the word to them, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was the power present? Because the word was preached. He preached the word to them, and the power was present to heal. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. So let's keep moving through this. Now, so here in Mark chapter 6, Jesus is in his hometown, and it says that he could do no mighty work there because he marveled at their unbelief. So their collective unbelief short-circuited the power of God. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't willing or wasn't able. It was that they did not believe, and that blocked the power of God from operating in a wide scale and a great measure in Nazareth. That's unfortunate. That's sad, isn't it? But if we go to the end of that same chapter, Mark chapter 6, let's contrast it. It says, he crossed over and came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. Verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, anchored there. Verse 54. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. What did they do? What does it say they did? They recognized him. And so in his hometown, they did recognize him, but they recognized him only as the carpenter. Here in the land of Gennesaret, they recognized him as something else entirely. They recognized him as the healer, as the deliverer, as the miracle worker. Amen. And so when they came out, the people recognized him. What did they do when they recognized him? They did not walk, they ran. They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Praise God. I mean, the power of God was flowing. And as many as touched him were made well. What a contrast that is from the land of Gennesaret and Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. Here in the land of Gennesaret, they recognized who he was and they ran. They weren't sitting back saying, let's see if he's got anything. Let's see if he can do anything. No, they ran. They begged him, just Jesus, just touch him. Just touch my father here. He'll be healed. Just touch my wife here. She'll be healed. And they were all healed. Power went out from him and healed them all. Praise God. As many as touched him were made well. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's go with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, we're going to kind of jump into the middle of a thought in a way here, but look at verse 7 with me. In Acts 14, 7, it says, and they were preaching the gospel there. And there being the previous verse, it says the cities of, they went into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia and the surrounding region. That's where they were at. It says, and they were preaching the gospel there. Verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. This is an amazing healing here, an amazing miracle of healing, and it teaches us a lot about the operation of faith. In these few verses here, these four verses, first of all, it says in verse 7, they were preaching the gospel there. They were preaching the gospel. They were proclaiming the gospel. Here in Lystra, where they were preaching the gospel, there was a man that was sitting there without strength in his feet. He was a cripple from his mother's womb, and he had never walked. Now, that's a pretty serious condition there, isn't it? He had never walked. I mean, he would be one, if the devil could talk somebody out of being healed, he would be the first one that'd get talked out of being healed. Well, you've been crippled from birth. You've never walked, all right? Amen. And so he had never walked. But then verse 9 says, this man heard Paul speaking. That's a key. That's a key to the understanding the operation of faith right there. He heard Paul speaking. What was Paul speaking? Yeah, you got it. Verse 7, they were preaching the gospel there. This man heard Paul speaking. So he heard Paul speaking. Paul was speaking the gospel. And Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. How did he know that? Well, he perceived it in his spirit. He perceived it in his spirit. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Where did that faith to be healed come from? Yes, from hearing the gospel. Paul was speaking the gospel or preaching the gospel. The man heard Paul speak and had faith. As a result, he had faith to be healed. Well, he must have been preaching the right gospel. Faith comes by hearing, but faith can also leave by hearing, can't it? Yeah, if you, as Pastor Brian said, if you hear the wrong thing, you hear the wrong thing and faith will leave, won't it? You hear the right thing and faith will come. The right thing is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? The truth, amen, of God's word. Not somebody's idea, not somebody's opinion, but what did God say? What did God say in his word? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What example did Jesus set that we can read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The real Jesus. Amen? When you hear that, when you hear the good news, when you hear the gospel, when you hear the real word of God, faith will come into your heart. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. Now, let's press the pause. Get your remote out and hit pause right there. You got a DVR. You can catch it. You know, you can go, you know, go fix you a cup of coffee or a bowl of ice cream and come back and we'll finish watching this, all right? And so anyway, we pause it right here and we see, here's this man. Paul has just preached the gospel. Here's this man. He's got faith to be healed, doesn't he? Paul perceived that. By the Spirit, he's got faith to be healed. But notice his condition. What is it? He's still crippled. He's still crippled, but he's got a heart full of faith to be healed. Why is that? Because faith has to be released, doesn't it? Faith has to be released. You can have a heart full of faith, but if you don't release that faith, it won't do any good. It won't accomplish anything. Amen? Faith. Everybody say, faith, faith. Has to be released. Amen. Well, Paul wanted to help this man. He wanted to help him release his faith. So Paul perceives or observes that he has faith to be healed. He's preaching. This man's listening. And Paul says, stand up on your feet. The Bible says he said it with a loud voice. Sometimes you need to say it with a loud voice. Amen. Sometimes we're too passive about things. Now, you know, it's not just a matter of working up emotion. But you know, sometimes the exercise of authority needs to be done authoritatively. Amen. Like Wigglesworth observed, you know, they were waiting on the train to come, and the lady was there waiting on the train, and her little doggy had followed her friend to the train station. And she says, now, honey, you go along. Mommy's got to get on the train. Go along. Go on. Little doggy sat there. You know, it wasn't going anywhere. And so she tried it again. So finally she said, I said, get! Arr, arr! Dog took off, you know. And Wigglesworth said, that's the way you got to do the devil, ma'am. Amen. Amen. So Paul said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. The man was so surprised, Paul yelling at him. He just got up before he realized what he was doing. Amen. I don't know if that was it or not. He had faith. He said, yeah, I know I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. What? You know, I believe I'm healed. I believe this message, but what do I do? Paul said, stand up. He said, all right, I'll stand up. He didn't say, wait a minute. I'm sorry, sir. I can't stand up. No, he had faith. Man told me to stand up. Bless God, I'm going to stand up. Had never walked. He had never walked. Glory to God. This is amazing. He said, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and then walked. Wow. Wow. I like that. So his faith was released, how? By action. By action. Faith without works or without corresponding actions is dead. It's just in a dormant state. It has to be released. Amen? Amen. it was released, for that minute, it was released by action. Let's go back now to the woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, again. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Well, that's a pretty long time, too, to be sick, isn't it? This man, this crippled man had never walked, but this woman had been sick for 12 years. 12 years. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So she'd been to the doctors. It's kind of funny there. The Bible said she suffered many things from many physicians. Yeah. Yep. Well, we believe in the physicians. We believe in doctors. They were trying to help her, but all they helped her do was to become poor. Now, again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against doctors at all. But she spent all that she had. But they couldn't help her. I'm sure they tried. I'm sure they were sincere. I'm sure they wanted to help her, but they couldn't help her. And she not only was she not getting better, she was getting worse. Her condition was getting worse. It wasn't just, they weren't even able to arrest it to where, well, you know, this is manageable now. You can live. She was getting worse and worse. It's a sad situation here. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Now get your remote back out. I don't want you to press the pause button this time. I want you to press the rewind button now. Let's rewind this, and let's look at this, and let's learn some principles here. All right? And so here she is. The Bible says, number one, she heard about Jesus. We're going to look at the progression of faith here. She heard about Jesus. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came and touched his garment, for she said. So it looks like, so just on the surface, it looks like she heard, she came, and she said. But actually, the saying came before the coming part, right? She heard about Jesus, and then she started saying. What'd she start saying? She said, if I touch his clothes, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, why was she saying that? She was saying that based on what she had heard. That must have been a very common way that Jesus ministered, because that's the report that she heard about Jesus. One of her neighbors or relative or someone came and said, I was over in this city over here, and Jesus was teaching and preaching. And then people came up to him and began to touch the hem of his garment, and they were being healed. She said, you know, that could happen to me. She said, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Oh, praise God. Thank God she had not given up. Thank God that after 12 years, she didn't say, oh, well, I guess I'll just lay down and die. Thank God she still had enough within her. She said, I want to be well. I want to be well. You know what? If I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She said that, and then as she was saying that, she was motivated to go then. She came. She heard, she said, and then she came. She came. Hallelujah. I like what Brother Mark Hankins says. Faith will move mountains, but the first thing faith will move is you. Her faith moved her. Her faith, when she heard about Jesus and she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I should be made well. all of a sudden it occurred to her, what am I doing sitting here? I need to get to where he's at. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? And she went and she found out where he was at, and she pressed away. Wasn't it supposed to be out in public in her condition? But she got out in public, risked that, risked being out in public, pressed through the crowd. There was a crowd, because remember, he's on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. And so he's on his way there. There's a crowd thronging him, the Bible says. She presses her way through that crowd, and she touches the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, the believing and the saying and the doing came before the feeling. She didn't feel healed. She still felt awful. She still felt weak. She still felt sickly until after she released her faith. Amen? And so immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. The moment she touched him, not only did the power go into her and she felt in her body that she was healed, but the moment she touched him, Jesus felt a transfer of power go out of him. And he turned around and he said to his disciples, who touched me? Who touched me? And they rolled their eyes because there was 100 people in the last 10 minutes that had touched him. There's a crowd thronging him. They said, no, somebody touched me different. It wasn't just a jostling or a bumping or somebody touched me with faith. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Verse 32, he looked around to see her who had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. Now, the point of the story is this. Don't wait around. You know, remember that song there we used to sing? There's a young lady in our church when I was growing up. She would sing, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. I mean, it's a good song. But sometimes it communicates the wrong idea. Don't wait around for Jesus to touch you. You go touch him. She didn't. Now, that woman would have died if she'd have sat around her house and not gotten out, not gotten up, sitting around singing, he touched me. Oh. Or kumbaya, come by here, my Lord. No, she went to where he was. Amen. Amen. We can initiate our healing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't wait around for Jesus to touch you. You go touch him. Amen. So, well, that'd be nice if I was living back in Jesus' day, and I could touch him. Well, let me share something with you right here. A truth you need to know. The power of God, healing power, that power that went out of Jesus and into her, that power is present everywhere. So, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, Jesus told that to Brother Hagin. Let me read you. I want to read you a little excerpt out of this book. I would encourage you to get it if you don't have it. How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Does everybody have this? If you don't have it, we're giving them away free of charge in the bookstore tonight if we have them. I think we have some back there. So if you don't have it, go get you one. All right? Well, it's free of charge tonight. All right? Jesus, so here's this account. And Brother Hagin is in Phoenix, Arizona. This is in the 1950s. And Jesus appeared to him. He was after a service, and they were getting ready to have some food and refreshments, and a family that he was staying with. And he says, "I need to pray." An urge to pray came on him, and he said, "I've got to pray right now." And he says, "My knees had hardly touched the floor until I was in the Spirit." And first he had a vision. The Lord showed him in a vision of a man who was going to be in the service that next Sunday night. And the man got saved. He was God gave him a word concerning that. He says, then the Lord Jesus himself appeared to me. I saw him as clearly as I would see you. He stood within 3 feet of me. He discussed things concerning my ministry and finances, and he even discussed things concerning our United States government. All of these things came to pass just as he said they would. And then he says, Jesus turned to walk away, and I said, Dear Lord Jesus, before you go, may I please ask you a question? He retraced his steps, stood close to where I was kneeling, and said, You may. I said, Dear Lord, I have two sermons I preached concerning the woman who touched your clothes and was healed when you were on the earth. I receive both of these sermons by inspiration. I preach them everywhere I go. And every time I preach them, I seem to be conscious in my spirit that the Holy Spirit is trying to get another sermon from this fifth chapter of Mark to me, a sermon that would complement the first two. And so Jesus answered him, You are correct. My spirit, the Holy Spirit, has endeavored to get another sermon into your spirit, but you failed to pick it up. While I'm here, I'll do what you ask. I'll give you that sermon outline. Now get your pencil and paper and write it down. He says, I opened my eyes to ask for paper and pencil. I didn't see Jesus any longer. I saw the people who were praying with me. When I closed my eyes, there Jesus stood before me as before. This was a spiritual vision. So he talks about that, and he said, write down. Jesus said, write down 1, 2, 3, 4 on the paper. With my eyes shut, I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4. I knew the sermon had 4 points. Jesus said, if anybody, anywhere, will take these 4 steps or put these 4 principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. Now, have I got your interest spiked in wanting to get the book now? All right. That's pretty good. If anybody, anywhere, well, that'd be you. I qualify for that, don't you? I'm an anybody and I'm anywhere, aren't you? We'll take these 4 steps or put these 4 principles into operation. And he explains in the book the difference between either taking the steps or putting the principles into operation. All right? And how that's different. He will always receive, always. Everybody say always. Always. He will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. And so I'm not going to get into all of that. You'll need to get the book to find out what those 4 points are. But it's free tonight, and I think we have them. But in this, it says, Jesus said to me, power, get this now, power is always present everywhere. He's talking about this, the account of the woman with the issue of blood. Power is always present everywhere. Oh, if people could only realize that. He is everywhere. And wherever he is, there is power. There is a power at work on the earth today that is neither deadly nor dangerous, a good power, a power that heals, delivers, and sets free. And this unseen, unheard power, this supernatural power, is always present everywhere. So that means it's right here in this room tonight. Amen. That means it'll be right in your house when you go home tonight. Amen. That means it's in your car. Yes. It's present everywhere. It is like plugging into an electrical outlet. If we can learn how to plug into this supernatural power, we can put it to work for us and we can be healed. If every sick person in every sick room in the world just knew about this power and how to tap into it, it would heal them of every disease. If people and institutions only knew it, there is a power right there in that room where they are. More than enough power to heal them, to cure the insane, to drive out demons, and to deliver those who are bound. Jesus said, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. There is a secret here. It was her faith that caused that power to flow out to her. Jesus said to me, Power is always present everywhere. Power to deliver from every sickness, power to deliver from every demon and everything that hurts or destroys. Faith gives it action. Now we know the secret. It is not a hidden secret. It may be a secret to some, but it has been revealed to us and to all who will listen. Jesus said, Who touched me? Verse 30. And the disciples replied, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Many people touched Jesus that day, some through curiosity, some accidentally, and some to see if something would happen. But no power flowed until there came a touch of faith. The minute there was a touch of faith, the power flowed out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is the plug, praise God. Just plug it in. How do you plug it in? Say it, do it, receive it. Okay, I just gave you 3 points of the 4 points right there. Say it, do it. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She did it. She went and acted. She touched him. Amen. And she received it. Power flowed out of Jesus into her. Amen. Hallelujah. Go one more scripture. Look. Let's go back. One we've looked at already, but then we'll add one verse to it. Go back to Mark chapter 9. We'll close right here. Look at verse 23 again. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, that's an interesting and honest statement there, isn't it? The man was being honest. Yes, Lord, I believe. If you say all things are possible to those who believe, then count me in. I'm on board with this. I believe. But I'm also honest with myself. I realize that I've got some unbelief I need to overcome. Would you help me with that, Jesus? And you know he did. You know, we don't read in here that Jesus said, go away. And when you've gotten rid of that unbelief, come back and I might do something for you. Oh, thank God. This thought, I don't know if it helps you, but it sure has helped me many times. Yes. Yes. Amen. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What does that mean? It means that Jesus will meet you right where you are. Yes. Brother Hagin, in this book, he talks about a little bit. He talks about his own healing. And I don't know that he refers specifically to this part of it or not, but I heard him share it many times. Talked about when he was healed and before he was healed, he was just a teenager, 16 years old, and he got saved, of course, and he was bedfast, had an incurable blood disease, had a deformed heart, was paralyzed. Doctors said he wouldn't live. You know, he tried to get, after he got saved, he started reading. He said, I was a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. and he was paralyzed quite a bit, so it took him, said sometimes he'd have to concentrate 30 minutes just to get his hand to move to turn the page. And he was that persistent, though. He was that persistent in wanting to find out the truth. And he kept reading the Word of God, and he kept finding out the Holy Spirit just guiding him and guided him into the truth of divine healing as a 16-year-old boy laying there bedfast, you know, reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. And he discovered the truth of healing. And he said, one day, you know, he thought, well, what am I missing here? I know that I should be healed. I know that I can be healed. I know it's God's will for me to be healed. So finally, he just prayed in desperation. He said, Dear Lord Jesus, with all respect to you, sir, he said, if you were to stand before me in person right here, right now, and say, your problem, son, is that you don't have faith. He said, Dear Lord Jesus, I would have to say that you're lying because I do have faith. I know I believe. I do have faith. He said, inside, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Didn't rebuke him, but the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, you do believe all right, as far as you know. He had faith in his heart, but he didn't have the revelation that faith had to be released, like we talked about earlier. And so the Holy Spirit continued to guide him. He said, you know, he said, well, people ought to be up at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're laying there in bed. Well, what do I need to do? And so he thought, well, I need to get up then. And so he said he's laying there in that bed, and he pulled himself up, and he slung his legs over off the side of the bed, and he said they fell like, you know, it's like chunks of wood. And so then he was able to pull himself up on the bedpost, and he sort of stood up there, and he said the power of God hit him. And he began to feel, he said, like 1,000 needles and pins were sticking him in his legs. It felt so bad, but it felt so good to have feeling. And in 10 minutes' time, he was standing up, you know, completely healed. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, you do believe as far as you know. So the Lord will help you. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. Don't ever think that, well, you know, I just don't have enough faith, or don't let the devil tell you, well, you can't be healed. You'll never have enough faith to be healed. No, use the faith you have and go to God. And if there's unbelief, then say, Lord, help my unbelief. And he will help you. He will meet you where you're at. He will lead you out of unbelief and into faith. He'll lead you out of that and into a place where you can release your faith and receive your healing. Amen. There's a Godward side and there's a manward side. God can't do our part. We can't do God's part, certainly, but he can't do our part. We've got a part to play. We have to exercise faith. We have to release faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And your faith will work. If that woman with the issue of blood, if her faith can make her whole, your faith can make you whole. If those blind men could receive their sight and Jesus said to them, according to your faith, let it be done to you, then according to your faith, let it be done to you.
Amen.
Amen. That centurion, Jesus said to him, go your way as you have believed, let it be done for you. As you believe, it'll be done for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and we praise you.